Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, there was some breaking news, of course, on Monday. The Bucks released Gerald McCoy after 9 seasons, a guy that made 6 Pro Bowls. For the Buccaneers, former number 3 overall pick back in 2010. He is gone. The Bucs not wanting to pay his $13 million that were due in 2019. He is now a free agent and will be chasing a ring, certainly to get lots of interest. Who is the next player to come in here and replace Gerald McCoy? Could it be the guy that was drafted ahead of him, number 2 overall by the Detroit Lions back in 2010, in Ndamukong Suh? We got all of that Gerald McCoy news and what's going to happen with the Bucs on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Hey, do you want to be a millionaire? Well, for 30 years, Howard and Sue Million have brought the cool comfort of air conditioning to the entire Tampa Bay area, making thousands of residents millionaires with their quality products and service. Now, Millionaire is currently offering 0% interest for 72 months on qualifying equipment. So give them a call at 727-862-2100 and take advantage of this great offer on a brand new quality Trane air conditioning unit or to schedule service or maintenance. Call 727-862-2100 today. Trust the masters of comfort, Millionaire. All right, Steve, the news of Gerald McCoy breaking on Monday afternoon, and this was not really unexpected, but by the same token, I guess it was. It's still a little bit hard to digest in some respects. I mean, Gerald McCoy, a lot of people, you know, may not have thought all that highly of him for a myriad of reasons we can get into, but at the end of the day, this is still one of the best players that the Bucs have had in their franchise history. I mean, a 6-time Pro Bowler, you don't cut those guys very often. I mean, we all remember, you know, Derek Brooks being released and, you know, John Lynch and Warren Sapp, you know, being released. I mean, so there's been some iconic players. Two of those guys are first ballot Hall of Famers. So obviously a lot of guys eventually move on. Simeon Rice was cut by this team. But by the same token, he's of that ilk. There's not many guys who you can say when they leave that, well, eventually their name's going to be on the stadium. Gerald McCoy is one of those. And you figured that it might end like this. It felt like a divorce. But after the Justin Pierre-Paul stuff of a couple weeks ago, I wasn't really sure. I got to be honest with you. I thought there was a time. And I've kind of been plugged in on what was going on for some time, can really say it. You know, I've got a good relationship with Gerald McCoy and have covered him for all 9 years. And so I knew sort of what, you know, was going on behind the scenes. But, you know, there was no way they were going to trade this player at $13 million. They made it clear they didn't want to pay him that. So most teams knew that he was probably going to be released, and eventually he was. And yet there's still some bittersweetness to this. Like, on the one hand, you're kind of happy that McCoy now will have a chance to go on and choose the team that best fits him, and that he's going to have a chance to chase a ring and sign with a contender. But by the same token, I'm not sure whoever the Bucks bring in after McCoy for this season at least is going to be that much better, to be honest with you. If not as good.
You know, it's kind of the whole Donovan Smith argument we had when they re-signed him.
Right.
If you don't think he's the best, okay. But who are you going to sign that's better?
Sure.
And I don't know. I don't think, I mean, you know, Ndamukong Suh's the big name, of course. Mm-hmm. And Gerald and him will always be tied together as going number 2 and 3 in the draft.
Yep.
But I don't think Ndamukong Suh's better than Gerald McCoy at this point.
Statistically, he certainly isn't. He's always been a different type mm-hmm. of player. He's more of a bulk guy. He's, you know, you could say arguably a better run defender. He's not an up the field guy. Certainly not a pass rusher at all. You know, I was going through the numbers. I mean, Sue the last 2 years had 4.5 sacks each of the last 2 years. Got paid $14.5 million by the Rams last year, and they didn't attempt to re-sign him, as far as I know. But just in terms of numbers, I think, you know, Gerald McCoy has 54.5 career sacks, right? And he did that in 123 games. he's only 1.5 sacks shy of Ndamukong Suh, who played in 33 more games. I mean, think about that. 33 more games. What would Gerald McCoy's sack numbers be? You know, they far eclipse what Ndamukong Suh has. I mean, that's almost – that's 2.5 seasons. It's at least – well, 16 is 2 seasons.
Yeah, 2
anyway.
Seasons. Yeah.
So if you add 12 sacks to McCoy's numbers, even at 6 sacks a year, which is what he's done the last 2 seasons, and you add 12 sacks to that, you're at 67.5. You know, so you're well eclipsed to what Suh had produced. So from a pass rush standpoint, I don't think he's necessarily the player. We'll see if that's the way it's going. I mean, there were a lot of reports out there, including by Thomas Bassinger on our staff, that the Bucs were close to a deal with him and for somewhere around 1 year, $10 million or something like that.
And that's the difference, is that maybe McCoy's better than Suh, but you have to take the financial implications into account because the Bucs are cap strapped.
They are.
So maybe you're getting a lesser player, but you're getting him for $3 million cheaper.
You're getting for cheaper, and McCoy, and this is what it came down to. Okay, so these guys have been talking for a while, right? And there's been some rhetoric and some things that caused some bad feelings, I think, between McCoy and some of the things that Bruce Arians said. And look, Bruce Arians doesn't know Gerald McCoy. He knows what he's seen on tape. He met him when he came into the building to be head coach. He knows he's a great guy. He's heard what he's done for the community. But in terms of just, you know, evaluating him, you know, going to a 3-4 and some projections there, watching the film, which wasn't great last year. He had 6 sacks. He still led the team with 21 quarterback hits. But, you know, at some point early on, I think Arians probably figured, you know what, he's not a $13 million player. And let's start with that. So they're up against the cap. He's got $13 million that's not guaranteed. So if you do something with him, you're going to get, you know, some salary cap bonus from that. And so that leaves you with the choice of saying to McCoy, okay, we still like you as a player. We don't like you at $13 million. You know, it's kind of like when you go shopping. It's like, you know, I really like that painting. I don't like it at $5,000, you know. So that's, you know, that they, everybody gets a value and they kind of, whatever that number was, it was less than $13 million. So then their options are, you go to Gerald and you say, would you stay for less than what we have already agreed to pay you? Which is also ironic that these teams sign these deals and, you know, really they don't honor them, but they expect the player to honor them. And I think at that point, you know, McCoy was like, well, wait a minute, if I'm going to take less money, which it's not about the money with him. I mean, he's made over $100 million in his career. He's not a guy that's real extravagant in his taste. He doesn't own 5 homes, 25 cars, and that sort of thing. So, you know, this is not – he's got generational money to the point where whatever he's getting paid next season from anybody is not going – he probably won't even see it. You know, his grandkids might see it, but he won't. So at that point, he's like, well, wait. We haven't been to the postseason in 11 years. I've been here, you know, for 9 of those years. And if I'm going to take less money, I'd rather say take my chances with the New England Patriots or, you know, maybe maybe the LA Rams, maybe the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe, and I'm just spitballing here, but not really, maybe the New Orleans Saints, who are in the same NFC South, and I know the NFC South, and – it would be kind of fun to come back into Raymond James twice, you know, play them twice a year as well. So, you know, he knows he can get paid. Now, what the Bucs did and what they will tell you they did eventually is that they realized, and Arians, you know, helped kill his value with some of the things he said, but they realized we're not going to be able to trade Gerald McCoy, not at $13 million. No one is paying $13 million because the first time you pick up the phone – and want to make a player available for a trade, you're telling them what? We're going to cut the guy. We don't think he's worth what we owe him. So at one point in trying to you know, to not force a trade to some team that Gerald don't want to play for, and I would maintain that would be nobody wants to pay that price, they allowed Ben Dogra, his agent, to call other teams and seek a trade. And what he's really doing is it's like, you know, hey, it's Ben. I represent Gerald McCoy, among other players. Look, you know, would you have an interest in trading for him? No. Okay. But you know what? If he becomes a free agent, call us back. We have a lot of interest in Gerald McCoy, but we're not going to give, you know, both pay the player $13 million and then have to give something else to the Bucks for the right to get a guy that we know if we just hold tight, we're going to probably get in a couple of weeks anyway. So as soon as that call is made, the whole league knows that Gerald McCoy is going to be released. And I think timing is everything in the NFL. And my guess is a couple of things happened. I think this would have been over a couple of weeks ago. In fact, I expected it to be. But then came the night of September 2nd. And Jason Pierre-Paul, driving his Ferrari at 2 a.m. on I-95 in Fort Lauderdale,
you mean
hits
May
a patch
2nd.
Of water.
May 2nd.
May 2nd. I'm sorry. What did I say? September?
Yeah.
Jesus. I'm way. Yeah. What time is it as we do this?
Yes.
May 2nd. So it comes May 2nd, and he's driving down I-95, 2 o'clock in the morning in his Ferrari, and hits a patch of water in the rain, spins out, hits a concrete barrier, and boom, this dude's got a cervical fracture. And, you know, it took the Bucks a week to send him to specialists and kind of figure out just what they were looking at. And the news isn't good. I mean, he is going to be, you know, out 4 to 5 months. It's going to be 11 or 12 weeks before they can reevaluate him and even determine if he needs surgery or not. So you would think, you know, both the Bucks dealing with that and then the possibility that it might impact their decision on McCoy, that pushed everything back a couple weeks, you know, because this thing was supposed to come to a head several weeks ago. And then Jason Pierre-Paul gets in the accident, okay? But the way the Bucks looked at it is, look, if McCoy's not a $13 million player before the accident, why would we pay him that now? We have other options. And so, you know, it came to a head finally on Monday. And, you know, the Glazers had to obviously make the final decision. This is an ownership decision. But I also think that they don't release Gerald McCoy unless their plan B is pretty much locked down, right? Like, they've got somebody that they're about ready to sign in his place. And by all indications, that player looks to be in Ndamukong Suh.
And that's going to be an interesting signing.
It really is, right?
And as you always say, have the press conference.
Well, have the press conference. And this is the thing, Bucks fans. You know, for all of you out there that just couldn't stand that Gerald was too nice a guy, that, you know, you didn't like that he helped up quarterbacks after he knocked them down, and, you know, he prays a lot and does that thing at the 50-yard line before the game, and, you know, sure does lose a lot of games with this football team, and, you know, likes Batman and all this. And he wasn't Warren Sapp. He didn't have that nasty, you know, he didn't have that Sapp kind of – well, guess what? Here comes the anti-Gerald McCoy. And I've met Ndamukong Suh. I don't have anything personal against the guy. There couldn't be two more different guys than Ndamukong Suh and Gerald McCoy that play the same position and wear the same number and have since college. I mean, you know, first of all, they're not the same players. Suh is more of a run stopper. I mean, we've already documented the fact that he's not the pass rusher that Gerald is. But on top of that, you go from a guy that everybody criticized for being too nice to a guy that, you know, was suspended for stomping on Evan Smith, which, by the way, Evan Smith is now no longer with the Packers. That happened on Thanksgiving Day 1 year. He's now with the Buccaneers. I mean, look, this would be Ndamukong Suh's fourth football team. Gerald McCoy has played for one. Does that count for anything? Is there a reason why the Detroit Lions, I mean, maybe it was Sue's choice that he got paid to go to Miami and made a lot of money there, but the Dolphins eventually let him move on to the Rams, and now the Rams are going to let him move on to another team. So this is his fourth football team. McCoy's played for one. He's about to play for his second team. So something's there, right? And I don't know, you know, you have to do something, because I'm here to tell you that defensive line, the way it's constructed now with Vita Vea, Sue to me is more like Vita Vea, you know what I mean, than Gerald McCoy. I mean, they're just different players. But you at least have a veteran guy that, you know, went to a Super Bowl a year ago. He was drafted. It's ironic because, you know, the Bucs didn't get to make that choice. When he came out of Nebraska, as you mentioned earlier, you know, the Bucs were picking third, and he went second. And you wonder what they would have done had McCoy gone to the Lions. Did they prefer Sue over McCoy? I don't really know, because we're going way back to 2010.
It was a different regime too. So
totally different regime, totally different defense. Mark Dominic was the general manager at that time. all of those things. So we really don't know. But now they are in effect, if this happens, they are in effect choosing Ndamukong Suh over Gerald McCoy, because I think whoever signs first, the other guy's getting the same deal. If Suh signs 1 year, $10 million, guess what Gerald McCoy's contract's going to be? Unless, say, that it's the Patriots and, you know, they're going to pay him in championships. And they go, well, look, we don't have the money, but, you know, would you come here and play for less than that?
You can get a ring.
Because you can get a ring. And it's virtually assured that you're going to at least be in the AFC championship game. And so, you know, and I really believe that Gerald will take less to go to a team like that where he has his best chance of winning. Because he told me a long time ago, he said, look, for the first time in his career, this past January, I guess it was almost February, he was in Atlanta for the Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Rams. He'd never gone to the game. You know, a lot of the guys go up that week and they're around the hoopla and they do endorsements and a lot of media and this sort of thing, usually sponsoring something like Gatorade or something like that. And McCoy went, but he went to the game. And he said, he was like, hey, man, I got to get me some of that. Like, Mike, he can hear his clock ticking pretty loudly. He's 31 years old. You know, Warren Sapp played 9 seasons here. This is, you know, he's definitely near the end of his career. Thinks he can play 3 or 4 more years. But for him, it's not, you know, it's about his legacy. He doesn't want to go through his entire career. Now, this is so Gerald McCoy that it's kind of funny, but this is true. So after Pierre Paul gets hurt, now suddenly McCoy is feeling bad about things because, you know, he's given the Bucs sort of an ultimatum in a way, you know, why would I take less money to play here, play for a contender? But he has so many friends on this team, and he feels he doesn't want to be seen as abandoning them, if you can believe all this. I mean, it's business. They're firing you, but you feel like somehow you might be abandoning them. And we're talking about guys like Levante David and, you know, Vita Vea and some of these guys that he's gone to war with. And that's what football is, you know, that camaraderie that you build among teammates. And so he actually, you know, I think in his mind was like, you know, maybe I shouldn't leave them at the high and dry. But I think, again, there's no coincidence here. The Bucs have to be very near to a deal with somebody, and it looks like it might be Sue. But in any respect, you would not just cut Gerald McCoy without having a pretty good replacement, you know, in your mind anyway, that you're going to sign here in the next few days. So I fully expect us to know what their plan is. You know, the other day Bruce Arians said, well, we've been pretty, you know, pretty lucky in my time in Arizona of finding some good players there right at the end. We all remember Dwight Freeney signing there with Arizona and those kind of guys. So, you know, this will be sort of the replacement for Gerald McCoy, whoever they bring in here next. And I think it's going to be a player that we recognize. And it certainly looks like Ndamukong. And if it's not, I hope they've got a plan C, because I don't think their football team got better. And look, this is a critical, critical year. You know, everybody was sort of speculating that, especially after JPP, surely they would not cut ties with Gerald McCoy now. That isn't Bruce Arians here just to see what he can do to save or salvage Jameis Winston? Haven't they said this isn't a rebuild, it's a reload? And yet, Steve, you pointed out to me correctly that if you really look at this in an objective way, it's not this year that they're going to have the opportunity to do some things. It's next year, because so many of their players don't have guaranteed money next year. And their salary cap situation is going to be far, far better than it is this season.
Yeah, with the exception of Donovan Smith and Mike Evans, there's really no guaranteed money for next year committed outside guys that are still on their rookie deals. So anybody who's in their first 4 seasons. But those are relatively small deals when you're talking a percentage of the cap. So
sure, and they're good players like O.J. Howard and, you know, some of those guys that
– and Vita Vea.
Vita Vea,
you know, guys like that. But, you know, you start looking at Ali Marpet, and I think there's a small fraction of his salary that might be guaranteed.
Yeah, and he's probably okay. But Ryan Jensen has no guarantees, I don't believe. You know, you're talking – DeMar Dotson, I think he's out of them as well. You know, you've got guys on the defensive side of the ball too. that are in that situation.
I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul's not guaranteed next year. Levante David's not. Vernon Hargraves isn't. Cameron Brate, William Golston.
Those are huge. Yeah, those are huge deals.
You know, your top, you know, what? That's your top seven or eight guys you'd be bringing back. Only Evans and Donovan Smith, and then $1.2 million of Ali Marpet's contract is guaranteed.
Right. And so now, that is a good chunk.
Right. Now, you don't have a quarterback under contract for next year.
That's true.
So you still got to sign that. And Jameis, presumably, if you're going to franchise him, depending on what you decide this year,
right?
You could sign him long term, or you may franchise him. So his would go up from, you know, 22 this year to, you know, 30-ish.
25 and a half, 27, 30, you know, somewhere there. Yeah, he's going to get a boost, but it's not going to be like he's already getting almost $21 million now. So it might be set. But remember this, too. The cap goes up 10 years because the revenues. Mm-hmm. Cap goes up $10 million a year because the revenues go up every year in the NFL. So, you know, whatever the difference is for Jameis will, in effect, be a wash with what the increase in the salary cap will become just from the designated gross revenues that go up every year in the NFL. So, to your point, they're going to have a very, very, you know, fortunate salary cap position and could do a lot more in free agency. Mm-hmm. And
they could drastically change the roster next offseason.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas they're pretty much stuck. I mean, they are stuck with what they have, a bunch of young guys that they've drafted that are first- and second-year players, a bunch of guys on one-year make-it contracts, you know, whether you're talking about Shaq Barrett or D1 Buchanan, these sort of guys. And, you know, and then they'll have to – and then the rookies that they've taken and some of the undrafted guys and whatnot, and that's what they got. They got to go play. And Sue, you know, if they sign a guy like Sue for $10 million, okay, so you save – three or so million there. You only need to cut one or two players, and you're going to be able to sign, you know, your final draft picks and, you know, Devin White and guys like this. But I just don't see how they became a better football team. And I would say that even if they're able to sign Ndamukong Suh. You know, look, it's a different defense. It's a 3-4 versus a 4-3. We'll see how Vita Vea and whoever's next to him can work out together. But they don't have anybody outside that's got more than six sacks and, you know, in Carl Nassib now, and you can't count on JPP. This is not a very good defense, at least on paper. So Todd Bowles has his work cut out for him. But the reaction was kind of mixed. I was looking on Twitter at sort of what people were saying. And, you know, I talked to Gerald a couple of years ago, and this was interesting. You know, he's always been a guy that above everything else is a great teammate, you know. And like I said, he took a lot of crap needlessly because, you know, he came in here at a time when there were no veterans and he got hurt his first 2 years. So everybody labeled him immediately as a bust. And Sue actually played pretty well his first year. And, you know, and so the comparison started early on between him and Sue. And it looked pretty bleak for a while. And then, you know, and then McCoy started playing and was a great player for a while and a very good player pretty much ever since he's been here, but he did things the right way. But, you know, he did other things like around the community. You talk mm-hmm. about a great teammate. I mean, this guy ordered food trucks when they would go on the road and have joint practices, you know, like in Jacksonville or Tennessee. You know, they'd come back from a morning workout and there would be five or six food trucks, all kinds of stuff, Mexican and, you know, steaks or whatever it was and you know, different things that the guys could choose from. He paid for all that for his whole team. And you're talking about 90 players now. And again, I'm not having a telethon for Gerald McCoy. He's made $100 million. He's good. He can afford this. But you know what? Other teammates weren't doing this.
Mm-hmm.
At Christmas time, he'd go around One Buck Place and he'd pass out gift cards to expensive restaurants. But you know who he gave it to? The equipment managers. He gave it to the trainers. He gave them to the media relations staff and the secretaries and the cafeteria workers. Those are the guys that the people that he sought out to share some expensive dinners with. Then he would play Santa Claus every year. He'd pick 40 families from Metropolitan Ministries, and he'd personalize the gifts that would match the children's wish lists. And many times these were single parent families. Certainly, you know, they couldn't afford Christmas. He'd bring them to One Buck Place under the guise of they were just taking a tour, and then they'd walk out to the, you know, facility to look at that, and there would be a Christmas tree for every single family with their name on it, and those personalized gifts would be underneath that for all those kids of those families. And I'm here to tell you there was the and he did all this. He also would have his you know his football camp, and he would pay for 500, not 100, but 500 kids to go to his youth football camp. He didn't do it through a corporation like some other players do. He wasn't getting paid to put it on where they just use his name and they go out there for a day, but they're really getting paid to do it. He scholarshiped all these guys out of his own pocket, you know, and he got teammates to come out there and he worked with these.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guys, and it was all free, and it was all something that he just wanted to do and give back. And so from a community standpoint, you know, Tampa Bay is not going to be a better place. It just isn't. And and you're not going to find a better teammate. There will be a loss in that locker room. I don't care who they bring in.
Well, you saw Lavonte David's tweets and social media posts tonight. He's not happy. And granted, these players know it's a business.
What did he say? Because let me look.
Oh, he just had the emoji, the angry face, the red faced emoji. Yeah, is the tweet I saw right away.
Yeah.
You know that. You know, and he's losing. You know what they played together for? What Lavonte David's been in the league? What 7-8 years now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've been together.
He's next, those look, Lavonte David could be in the same place next year.
Most likely will be. I mean, you know, the Bucks are going to have to make a decision. His contract's for $10.75 million next season, but it's not guaranteed.
None guaranteed. That's right.
So, you know, the Bucks are going to have to make a decision. Now, whether it'll be that decision or they'll decide to keep him, we'll see. But, yeah, he is next year.
He'll be 30 years old, and he will have played 9 seasons, just like Gerald McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I mean, there's going to be, and that's just, you know, that's Lavonte. Of course, he's played with them the longest, but there'll be other players too. I don't know that it's going to be well received. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I think there'll be a lot of people questioning, you know, whether they're really serious about winning this year. And, you know, but again, is it shocking? No. You know, does the tape say he's a $31 million player? Probably not. But then again, on this team, you know, when you look at that defensive line as it's constructed now, and if your choice is, you know, Ndamukong Suh, now if he won't take a pay cut, you know, and you need the salary cap money, that's, you know, that's certainly some, that's a way you can go. But I think that, you know, you can't convince me that you're a better football team, but we'll see. I mean, you know, again, the one thing they did for Gerald McCoy is, for people who think he didn't have an edge, he's got one now. And I can tell you that, you know, he's always worked hard in the offseason. I mean, if you talk to Drew Brees, who works out with him, we get Drew Brees twice a year on a conference call, and they're good friends. You know, he chases Brees around and has for many years in the NFC South. And he'll tell you, he says, you know, Gerald's a stud. They go out to Todd Durkin's place, who's a trainer in California, and they just get after it for weeks on end. And Gerald's been doing this for a number of pretty much his whole career. But this year, you know, he kind of knew, you saw the writing on the wall. If you see his last interview after the final game last season, you can see that he's resigned himself, that this is probably it for him. Didn't know for sure, but that's sort of what he thought. And, you know, he told me, he's become a vegan. He's lost weight. He looks much, much trimmer. You saw the Instagram post he made in Cinco de Mayo. He's motivated. You know, these guys all look for an edge. I don't care if you're talking about Tom Brady. Tom Brady walks around and carries the little card of 199 where he was picked.
Yep, and here's the six quarterbacks ahead of him.
Yeah, six. Yeah, Gino Carmazzi and guys like that. I mean, six Super Bowl rings later, he's still finding that edge. He's using that as his fire, right? And, you know, and now Gerald McCoy certainly has it lit. I mean, he says, you know, his knees feel better than they ever have, wants to play 3 or 4 more years, and he's absolutely going to bring it. And, you know, as former players love to do, go against their former team. So if he ends up in the NFC South or on the Bucs schedule at all, that's going to be a very interesting game. And quite frankly, over the years, the Bucks have not fared well in revenge games. I can tell you that. I remember John Lynch in his first season at Denver. He made four more Pro Bowls on a fourth down, stuffed Mike Alstott, and the game was over at that point in the final drive. And we know Keyshawn Johnson came in here and caught a couple touchdowns for Carolina. You know, you can go on and on. I mean, there's always been in this league, you know, revenge games, and usually the player that's left town is the one that gets it. But you know, there's a chance that he lands on the schedule somewhere, whether it's this year or next, and we'll see how he fares. But it's not going to be one that's going to be well received, and it shouldn't be well received.
Look, breaking up is never easy.
No.
Whether it's football. I mean, we all know that in sports, for the most part, every ending is ugly. Very few people go off like John Elway and win a Super Bowl and retire. And usually play very well in the Super Bowl.
Right. Usually the greater the player, the more likely it is they won't finish their career there. Because somebody will, you know, look, we always say this, right? I mean, Joe Namath was a Ram. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like Emmitt Smith, I was at his last game. It was for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
He played the Bucks. It was brutal.
Joe Montana, was the Kansas City Chief.
Brett Favre was traded to the Jets and ended up with the Vikings, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which was a rival team of the Packers. But he played well. He had the NFC Championship game. If not for Bounty Gate, probably would have gone back to the Super Bowl and maybe won it. You can go on and on with great players in all sports. You know, Willie Mays is a Met. I mean, you know, you can do this all night, but I think that sometimes the better player tends to stay at the party too long. But by the same token, I think Joe McCoy still has football left in him, and it's just, you know, now we're just arguing over value. But whether it's $10 million in Ndamukong Suh or $13 million to Joe McCoy, his imprint is already on this franchise, and when he does talk, he'll say the right things. He'll thank the Glazers. He had a good relationship with them. Look, he said it at the end of last season. He said, you know, they took a guy from Oklahoma, third overall. I got hurt my first 2 years. He tore both biceps. They stood by him and gave him an opportunity. He made it work. They weren't able to win. He's endured this would have been his, fifth head coach. He's probably had well over a dozen defensive line coaches and probably seven or eight defensive coordinators, but many of them not doing the right things with him, and he didn't complain. He just went out there and played, and he would have played in this defense too if they'd have given him a chance. But Gerald's going to move on, and he's going to be fine. And the question is now: are you confident, if you're the Bucks fans, that Jason Light and Bruce Arians are going to get this right? You know, are they going to bring somebody in that will play as good or better than McCoy, and do they have that person? And I would guess that we'll know about that probably in the next at least 48 to 72 hours, just who they have targeted for that.
You would hope so. And you know, at the same time, too, and, you know, the news is happening today on, you know, May 20th, you know, when you're finding this out. But realistically, Jason Light and Bruce Arians probably made this decision months ago.
I think so.
You know, this isn't something that they woke up today and said, okay, now, you know, we got to make a decision. That, you know, this was part of their plan all along going into the draft, or at least you would have to assume that going into the draft, they knew this probably well before that they weren't willing to pay Gerald McCoy $13 million. It's not that you don't want him on your team. It's you're not willing to pay him $13 million based on the salary cap, the team you have, and the situation you have and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and I also got to wonder about this, and there's just no easy way. This is just pure speculation on my part, and there's no easy way to say this. But I think they had Gerald fatigue, to be honest with you. I think that the debate about McCoy and the fact that he was always going to be the guy that we ran to, and he hated that, by the way. I mean, it wasn't his fault that he was, for years and years, the best player on a crappy football team. I mean, it is a team sport after all. Okay, now one guy cannot determine its fortunes. I mean, Gerald McCoy, I think, has played the longest for the Bucks. Now, think about what I'm about to tell you here. Gerald McCoy played the most games for the Buccaneers without playing in a playoff game, more than Paul Gruber, You know, I mean, you can name some of the great Bucks of all time that didn't play in playoffs. Nobody has played in more games than Gerald McCoy without playing in a Buccaneers playoff game. That's saying something, because he's been a pretty good player. But because we would run to him, because he felt like he had to say something, and he was, for many, many years, the face of the entire franchise, not just the defense, and he would try to reinvent himself and be positive and all those things. And I think, you know, people got fatigued. I mean, I think as an organization, you know, you're bringing in Devin White, and he's a young guy from LSU. He's very confident. He's 21 years old. You're going to put him in the middle of that defense. You're going to tell him it's his defense. Would it be easier if Gerald McCoy wasn't here? You know, I'm just saying, like, is there a part of the Bucs or Bruce Arians, you know, that are about, well, we want to change the culture. We want tough guys, or we want, you know, more vocal guys, or, you know, we want some grinders, or whatever it is that you know, these buzzwords you hear. Everybody wants to, quote, change the culture. Maybe they just felt like they needed a different face on defense. You know, they needed to clear the deck, if you will, so that a guy like, you know, Devin White's personality can come out, and there's no question about who's leading that defense. I know Lavonte David is still there, but you know what? The rest of those guys, they're all just a bunch of young guys. And if Jason Pierre-Paul is not going to be in that huddle, you know, who is going to speak up? Do you want somebody more demonstrative than McCoy? So you just, you know, it's everybody has a different flavor, man. When this is what happens when players get old, and it's also what happens when you change coaches. And so I agree with you, Steve. I don't think from the get-go, I don't believe that Arians was a big Gerald McCoy guy.
Well, he wouldn't have said what he said back at the owners' meetings.
No, absolutely not.
If their intention was to keep Gerald McCoy.
Right. And he played against him. He watched tape of the guy. Mm-hmm. And Jason Light knows him better than anybody. Hell, he's the one that signed him to the new contract.
Yep.
You know, that he's now reneging on. So, you know, this is not a secret about who Gerald McCoy is and how he will fit in Todd Bowles' defense and all that stuff.
You bring up an interesting point, though, about if possibly they wanted to change the culture. And I'll say this, that you want to change the culture, and it probably needs it, and that's what every manager, coach, that's what you know, you're trying to set your culture in that. But Gerald McCoy last season was not voted a captain, and that didn't cause a problem. I mean, he gracefully stepped back and said, it's okay, I'm not a captain. You know, isn't that the type of guys you want on your team?
Well, you do, but then again, ask yourself this. What were the players saying by not voting him a captain?
Well, sure, but it's not like he caused a stink about it, and he still went out and played well. And
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what you want on your team, I would think. I mean, and, you know, look, new coaching staff, it buys you a lot of leeway. It buys you a lot of grace period where, you know, when you cut a player like this, you get some slack because you're trying to set your defense, your team, your this. And at the end of the day, it still comes down to the money. It's still the $13 million that was on his contract that was not guaranteed, that was signed, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, they basically made it a 3-year deal or whatever it was. This was the poison year, and they were saying by not guaranteeing it. I always say this. Look, the NFL, they don't have guaranteed contracts, but they guarantee money. So if a guy signs a 2-year, you know, $20 million contract, or no, let's say this. If he signs a 4-year, $40 million contract and $20 million is guaranteed, what did he just sign? A 2-year, $20 million contract.
Yep.
In other words, the contracts, you know, take the number of amount of guaranteed money and divide that by a number of years, right? If there's guaranteed money in the third year, it's a 3-year deal. If it's guaranteed money in just 2 years, it's a 2-year deal. And forget what the total value of it is that they'll never see. And this was the case with Gerald McCoy. I mean, the last contract he signed had that when he got to be 31 years old, they could absolutely walk away and it cost them nothing against the salary cap. So they sort of did make that decision when they signed him to the new deal. And, you know, he didn't outplay it, but it kind of, you know, it's certainly one-sided when it comes to contracts in the NFL, but they could change that with the CBA if they want to. I'll tell you one guy that's not happy about this, and I'll get into more of it maybe as we go along this week, Warren Sapp. especially if they sign Ndamukong Suh. Warren Sapp is not a fan of that move. You know, in some ways, Gerald McCoy is his guy, and I think McCoy probably suffered more from, you know, the shadow that Sapp cast under that over that position. You know, all he had to do is be compared to a first ballot Hall of Fame player at the same position, and that was never going to happen. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, Sapp really liked him and thought he was a good player. And if they bring in Sue, who he doesn't like, he was telling me we were going back and forth a little bit, first on Twitter or in texting and then on the phone. And I hope I'm talking a little out of school here, but I really don't care. I don't think Sapp cares. He just said that if they bring in Ndamukong Suh, he says, take my name down.
Oh.
He was like, yeah, he's just not a fan. He's not a fan of the guy for a lot of different reasons. But he did like Gerald, and he's surprised by this at the end of the day. He thought that, you know, if they're going to pay anybody to come in here and play that position, they should probably just stick with Gerald. But you know what? This is business, and it's the old North Dallas 40 thing. Every time I say it's a game, you say it's a business. I say it's a game, you know, et cetera. So I say it's a business, you say it's a game. So,
well, I think we're going to find out what Gerald said, you know, in previous interviews, and I'll paraphrase, but basically they're going to miss me when I'm gone.
They are.
And I think, you know, the fans are mixed on Gerald, and it has been for years.
They are.
You know, some that love him and some that have never liked him or – for whatever reason. And I think the biggest reason is they compare him to Warren Sapp, which is an unfair comparison.
I do too.
They play the same position, but they're different players completely. Mm-hmm. Different style. And Gerald McCoy is a fantastic player. He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but not many are.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I think you're gonna realize how much Gerald's meant to this team when he's elsewhere or, you know, eventually retired as well.
Yeah, and it'll be things that you may not see or be able, it might be as tangible as how many plays a guy makes or something like that. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that I think it is something that you'll appreciate what he did the longer he's away than when he's here. And he told me that a couple of years ago when we were in Jacksonville. Here's what I liked about the release is that you know, boy, I just keep reading this. They mutually agreed to part ways. How does that
mutual
work? Mutual.
I believe the conversation probably is, I'm under contract for $13 million. Well, we're not going to pay you that. Well, I'm under contract for $13 million. Okay, you're fired.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not that's unilateral, isn't
that's
it?
That's not,
I mean,
mutual.
Yeah, mutual. I mean, mutual is Mutual of Omaha. It's an insurance company. You got mutual is when, you know, I mean, they make it sound, it's a euphemism for fired. I mean, you know, it's not like they, as I wrote in the paper, I mean, it's not like, or online, it's not like they were like, well, you know, time for me to go. They're at some intersection and one guy I know, he's got to go. This is not Casablanca. You know, this isn't one of those goodbyes where, you know, you have one of those things. I mean, this is sort of, you're getting fired. You know, they could have said he was released. And that would make sense because he's been in the bondage of a losing franchise. But they didn't say that. They said that the mutually agreed to part ways. You mutually agreed not to pay me what we had mutually agreed to pay. I mean, the mutual agreement came when he signed the contract. That's a mutual agreement.
Mm-hmm.
When you fire somebody and say, I'm not going to pay the contract that we mutually agreed on, that is not mutually agreeing on anything. You are unilaterally saying, I am not going to pay you what we mutually agreed to. So you are reneging on the mutual agreement. You are not mutually agreeing to part ways from the mutual agreement. You are, one guy is willing to perform under those terms, right? So you fired the guy. So just, you know, we have released Gerald McCoy is pretty much what they needed to say. I realized that he wasn't going to take less of a salary, you know, to stay here. So from that standpoint, he agreed that it would be better if he left if they're not going to pay him $13 million. But the actual mutual agreement was the one that said he gets $13 million for 2019. But that's just business. It's just semantics. I know what they're doing here. Look, they'll leave his friends. He'll come back to the stadium. He's got a good relationship.
He'll be in the Ring of Honor as soon as he retires.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope then that fans you know, give him what he deserves in terms of an ovation and all that, because he deserves it. He's represented the community well. He's represented the city well. It wasn't an easy thing to come in as a 20, 21-year-old from Oklahoma, you know, who had no veteran leadership here on his team whatsoever, and go through some of the things, the tough times that he went through, and come out the other side. So good luck to Gerald McCoy. I'm sure we'll hear from him in a couple of days. We'll hear from Bruce Arians tomorrow, or no, today, later today at the organized team activities. We'll have access to them and to some of the players. We'll get their reaction to Gerald McCoy not being with the Bucs anymore. And then, of course, check TampaBay.com all day for any updates on who they plan to replace him with, which I'm fairly convinced they know who that is. And if it's Ndamukong Suh or whoever, we'll bring you that as well. So we've got all that to look forward to. In the meantime, we got the Tampa Bay Rays in a pretty good series against, I don't know, Steve, maybe one of the best teams in baseball, in the L.A. Dodgers.
I think they are. I mean, either them or the Astros right now would be the best teams in baseball. And you're getting Clayton Kershaw playing at the Trop, which doesn't happen every year. So,
goodness gracious. And yeah, they got a hell of a pitching staff. I mean, the one guy, Rue, he's like their ace now, I guess,
mm-hmm.
the way he's throwing.
Yep.
The Korean guy, but yeah, this is a good ball club that can hit. I think that you know, coming off the Yankee series, they obviously need to get it going again at the Trop and get well against a good baseball team. Hopefully, you know, for their sake, I would think a lot of people would want to come out and watch the Dodgers. I know school's still in session and it's, you know, in the middle of the week and that sort of thing. But listen, they go from a quick 2-game set here, right? It's just 2 games mm-hmm. at the Trop with
yep.
the Dodgers, and then they're on the road for 4 at Cleveland, which will not be an easy series for them there.
No, it's kind of a bizarre schedule. I mean, you come home for 2 games on the road for 4, and then you're back home again starting Memorial Day for a homestand.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bizarre schedule this week. But yeah, Clayton yeah. Kershaw tonight against Hunter Wood as the opener.
Hunter Wood, the opener. There you go.
Mm-hmm. And then Jalen Beeks will probably get a lot of the bulk innings either tonight or tomorrow night.
Okay.
Because they don't hit lefties as well as righties, the Dodgers. I wouldn't call it a weakness, but they definitely hit right-handed pitching better than they do lefties.
So I'm guessing, I mean, the Dodgers will get 2 openers in 2 nights, essentially, because Snell's not ready to come back and Morton just pitched,
yep.
right?
Yeah, I would assume probably yeah. a Stanek or, you know, potentially Hunter Wood to go back-to-back days just to open. You know, it depends on what happens on Tuesday.
So you'll need some bulk from somebody, whether it's Chirinos or somebody like
that. They may call up Ryan Yarbrough for a lefty. To have another lefty
That's
who can
true.
Go long. He's been pitching well in Durham, so you could call mm-hmm. him up and use him as a bulk guy on Wednesday potentially.
Right. Yeah. No, all that's good. It's going to be a good series, so we'll be talking about that on the podcast as well. And we also might get a visit from our good friend Chris Torello coming up here.
Yeah, he was supposed to be on today, but with the Gerald McCoy news, we've pushed that back. So.
Yeah, but you don't want to miss him, of course, from Spectrum Sports 360. Played in the media game. You want to hear all about that, how they almost tried to kill Clayton Kershaw with some foul balls when he was thrown off the mound the other day. So that's interesting. So we'll talk about that and also what else is going on in the world of sports with not just the Rays but the Bucks and then, of course, and maybe you get a Mike Francesa visit and talk a little NBA and some of those things. So good guest, Chris Torello, will be with us here again tomorrow.
Speaking of the NBA, Golden State became only the second team ever to make 5 straight finals.
Incredible.
They swept Portland in overtime for game 4, but the Celtics from, I think, 57 to 66 went to the finals, what is that, 10 seasons in a row?
Yeah.
So the Warriors only the second team to do it 5 times in a row.
It's incredible. It's a dynasty. Look, they're doing it without KD. I think it's ridiculous, all these people saying, this is terrible for KD. It's his worst nightmare. They're going to win one without him. Look, they won a couple without him as it was.
Mm-hmm.
This is a deep team. They're champions. They're world champions. They know how to get it done. Steph Curry has stepped up his game. It's not that, you know, he didn't have to do it with KD on the floor. I mean, he did enough. But he was always capable of doing more, as was the rest of the team. This is a world championship team. I mean, they know how to win, and we're going to look back, and they're approaching a mega dynasty status now. I don't know that anybody in the East, whether it's Milwaukee or Toronto, I don't know that anyone's going to win that series over Golden State without Kevin Durant. So, boy, we're watching something that is rare. And that is, you know, Golden State just plowing through people back to another NBA final, which is pretty exciting if you're a Golden State fan. I know those people out there are probably getting a little spoiled at this point. Haven't had a dynasty in the Bay Area since the 49ers have done something like this. So they're pretty spoiled. But
yeah, the Giants so, that went to the World Series every other year for
they won 3 out of 6.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. wasn't bad. Yeah,
yeah, every even number year, I think they were going to the series. It was,
yeah, exactly right. Yeah, they won even number years. You're right. So yeah, they've had some champions out that way. So it'll be a good series, I guess. We'll see how it winds up, whether it's Milwaukee or Toronto. But yeah, Golden State on their way. So lots to talk about the rest of the week. And remember, folks, I know you have a choice of air conditioning companies. It's that time of year. You want to get your air conditioner serviced, or maybe you need to replace it. Go see our friends at Millionaire. They're currently offering 0% interest for 72 months on qualifying equipment. Give them a call at 727-862-2100. Trust the masters of comfort, Millionaire. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.